This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Now to a book about risk and reward coming out early next week called An Economist Walks into a Brothel. Economist Alison Schrager is the author. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You went to a lot of places in this book to learn about risk, reward, risk management. You talked to celebrity photographers, paparazzi. There's a surfer dude in there. But tell me about the brothels. Give me a hint about how a place where people pay legally for sex can help one understand risk management.
Well, sex work is notoriously a very risky job. I mean, if you go back, you know, centuries, like Jack the Ripper was targeting sex workers. And sex workers even today, most of them face a lot of risk in terms of law enforcement, in terms of violent psychopaths. So I went to the legal brothels in Nevada to see how much it costs to reduce all of that risk.
The legal brothels?
The legal brothels.
Because they're expensive compared to if you go to illegal services.
You pay a big premium for that safety. And that's what I learned, was to go there, collect data, talk to the women who work there about how they feel about risk and what they give up in terms of their earnings to get that safety, too.
I mean, I know people who pay an agent 10%. Sex workers in a legal brothel pay how much to management?
50%.
5-0.
5-0. And that's not all of it. Because they're legal sex workers who get 1099s, they actually have to pay taxes, full taxes, self-employment taxes. And it's interesting because the customers pay a lot more. And the sex workers have to pay a lot more. And then the house or the pimp takes the spread.
And for the customers, there's also risk reduction.
Exactly. They pay a 300% markup. Most sex work is illegal. It happens in cities across the country. People order sex workers off websites. But that's very risky for customers, too.
And is this risk priced correctly? When your economist's eye looks at this, is the risk priced correctly in the when you visited a brothel?
Well, in the economist's mind, you know, it's hard to say. I guess if the market clears, if there's adequate supply and demand, I suppose it must be.
Tell me another example from your travels to learn about risk management of stud horses. They breed hundreds of times a year in hopes of making new winning race horses. This is what? Risk diversification?
Well, it's under diversification.
Under.
There's been this big uptick in inbreeding. Right. Because now that people generally sell horses after 1 year instead of breeding them to race, you don't know how good a racer you're going to be after 1 year. So the only information is who the sire is or who the mare is. And so that means that the pool of desirable sires has shrunk considerably. So now racehorses are more inbred. So they're under diversified, which, you know, may be causing future problems for horses.
You know, if we're asking ourselves, why is any of this important? I mean, this is what Wall Street does. This is what financial services industry does, besides helping us, hopefully, with our retirement.
Yeah, finance or financial economics, all it is the study of risk in financial markets. But the lessons apply everywhere. Financial markets just are a great experiment because you have a lot of data and people are explicitly buying and selling risk all the time. But we do that everywhere in every decision we make and in every market you can find.
I sometimes worry that we humans worry about the wrong things all the time. Are we humans good at risk or terrible at risk?
I think we're better than people give them credit for. It's very fashionable to say people are hopeless at risk and we need to, you know, steer them correctly. And what I found, and this is somewhat consistent with a lot of psychology literature, is people are good at risk in one area of their life, but then maybe not so much in others. And it's like, you know, we naturally do have an ability to deal with risk. It's just sometimes we deal with unnatural environments. So the idea is if we can call it out and see the science behind what we're doing when we do make good risk decisions, we can apply that better thinking to everything.
I noticed this throughout the book. You keep reminding us, by the way, it's not just about risk. You need to identify what your hoped reward is. If that's fuzzy, you're in trouble, right?
Exactly. I think where people go wrong is the way we think about risk is sort of off, is that we think, you know, either you take a risk or you don't. It's this binary thing. And when you take a risk, you're just like, burn it all down. Like, let's just take a huge risk because things aren't right. But that's not a good way to take a risk. You need to have a goal. And this is true in financial markets, too. It's like, what is the goal? What am I looking to get? Is it more money? Is it more security? And then you take a risk that will hopefully further you to get closer to that goal.
All right. Before we go, what'd you learn from talking to a surfer dude?
Be mindful of your risks impact others.
Oh, really?
Yes. Something terrible happens to you. People need to rescue you. You could crash into someone else. They have a conference where they talk about systemic risk. Who knew?
The surfers?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Her new book is called An Economist Walks into a Brothel and Other Unexpected Places to Understand Risk. Economist Alison Schrager is a columnist at Quartz, also co-founder of Life Cycle Finance Partners. Dr. Schrager, thank you.
Thank you.